Federal News Radio's senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and your column on federalnewsradio.com today is the G-Man who never was and still isn't. Now, when I think of the G-Men, I think of the old movie G-Men. You know, the guys with the fedora hats, which I happen to love, by the way. But the double-breasted suits, big lapels and overcoats, and it's not what you're going
for.
No,
that's actually a throwback to the 30s, that year, of that 1934-35 year of crime in America. And you know, Maul Barker and Bonnie and Clyde and Dillinger and all that. And one of them, when he was being arrested, said, "You got me, G-Man," and that's where that came out. But no, this is just a government guy, or G-Lady, as it were. This fellow worked for the government, but he was also eligible for Social Security because of work done on the outside. When he went to apply for it, I'm trying to think the narrative. It's so complicated. He was born in East Germany.
Okay,
but. Which doesn't exist anymore. And he was born in a town that doesn't exist anymore. And when he went to apply for Social Security, they said, "You don't exist. We need to see, we need to see your birth certificate." And then as they were asking him about, cause this is his version, and Social Security couldn't comment because it's private.
Matter. Sure.
But his version is they said, "You don't exist. We don't have your birth certificate." And then they said, "Your birth certificate says you were born in Essen in East Germany." So there's something wrong somewhere.
The birth certificate we don't
exactly.
have.
Exactly. And his part of his narrative was the agency's computers don't talk to each other. And they wanted his original card and all that sort of. But it's just got to be. It's, you know, what we hear all too often hear as a bureaucratic nightmare.
The description, the full story from your correspondent is on federalnewsradio.com. The whole concept of this has gotten a lot of scrutiny lately. What happens to people when they're finished with their federal service?
Yeah.
Most of the focus has been on the Office of Personnel Management.
Exactly.
And what happens with your paperwork, and you and I have talked about, boy, what happens if you work at two or three agencies or more? You have a break in federal service. You have military and civilian. Right. There are all kinds of permutations.
Get married, change your name.
Yes, all kinds of things that can affect the way this works for people. We haven't focused as much on the Social Security aspect of it, I don't think.
I frankly didn't think about it until I got his email, and I have known him over the years. He's a frequent correspondent, so I guess he felt comfortable talking to me. It reminds me of a funny story, if I can digress.
Sure.
When I was a young reporter for the Washington Post, I used to write features, and they wanted, you know, light, funny stuff. And, and one time, and also I had solved problems because they knew I knew something about the government, you know, local kid and all that. So one day a guy came in, and Social Security was giving him a hard time. They wouldn't let him collect and say, it's this kind of business. You don't exist. You're not right. And so we go back and forth, and he's sitting at my desk, and I'm calling Social Security and being the middleman back and forth and whatnot. And they said, "Are you sure he's been using the right Social Security number?" And I turned to him and I said, "You are using the right social, I'm sorry to ask, but you're using the right Social Security number, aren't you?" And he said, "Right." And he pulled up his sleeve. He had it tattooed on his arm. It was tattooed wrong.
Oh.
It was one number off. Turned out it was one number off. So he'd been paying into some dead person's account or somebody else's account for 35 or 40 years. But, you know, it was foolproof. He'd never forget his number because it was tattooed on his arm. So trust no one.
Yeah, trust no one's a good advice all the way around. And that advice applies to the OPM conversation that we had a moment ago, as well as the Social Security.
Yeah.
I mean, you mean it in jest, but it's actually true, as we've talked before about collecting documents, verifying documents, making sure you've got all your ducks in a row can make a big difference in all of these aspects.
It's an eyeball process. These federal workers are charged by law. It's their duty to make sure that these payments are fair and correct, not too much, not too little. And in the case of OPM, it's largely a paper process. There are, if you have a long career in government, you could have a couple of boxes full of documents that your agency sends over or they retrieve from Boyers, Pennsylvania, or it goes to Boyers. But anyhow, somebody has to look at these. And if there's an appendage here, it says Francis Rose owed the government money for a training course or something like that, or maybe for whatever reason, your military service, as you said, break in service, you get married, you raise a family, you come back to government, you come back with a different name. So it's a it's a tough, if done correctly, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the other day with these, some of these defense contractors that were doing security clearances for people, and they were just passing everybody.
Yeah.
Including Edward Snowden.
Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and you also have a column up on federalnewsradio.com called What's the Best Age to Leave Government? How About Never?
Yeah.
And now the column isn't headed where I headed when I first read the headline,
mm-hmm.
but we had a chief human capital officer in here not too long ago, Jerry Buchholz from NASA,
mm-hmm.
and we asked her about the retirement wave. Jason Miller and I had her on the show, and she said, I don't think we're going to see one anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I went when I first saw your column, is that there are some folks who have been able to retire for a long time and have decided for whatever reason, you're going to have to haul them out of the building on a stretcher.
There are an X number of people who are waiting for a buyout. Some of them have been waiting literally since the Clinton administration. They're waiting for an offer. There are other people who look at the economy around them, the private job market, and you know they don't want to work at McDonald's if they need to supplement their income when they retire.
Uh-huh.
So they're just going to stick around forever. And I think a lot more people are choosing to work later. And you hear anecdotally, you know, magazine articles and news stories about people working well into their 70s, some in their 80s. So yeah, I think she's right too. I was being a tad cute there, although it's factual, but yeah, I think she's right. And I heard this morning on the radio that the age of retirement now is the highest it's ever been.
Uh-huh.
And it was 62, which stunned me because
wow.
I thought 62 is low.
Yeah, you know? Me too.
But, you know, who knows?
Well, but think about it. I mean, if you think about it in context, as we always try to do, you and I, that makes sense, especially among people who work for the federal government. You've
yeah.
had good health care
yeah.
for your entire career. Health care, regardless of all the issues surrounding it, is better than it's ever been
yeah.
in our history. People are living longer, and people are living better longer. So the idea that you could be 62 or 63 or 65 or 70 and still working, especially for the federal government, and healthy and contributing is really not far-fetched. I mean, think about folks that we know in that age range that are – they're not decrepit old people like they were when you and I were younger.
Mm-hmm.
People in their late 60s, early 70s are just as vigorous and productive as people at my age, in late 40s.
Well, there's another thing, too, that vacations, grandparents, 50th wedding anniversaries, and longevity are relatively new. You know, in the old days, and it's not that long ago, well into the last century, only very rich people took vacations. You take a cruise, you go take the waters at some spa or something. But ordinary people, I mean, there was no Disneyland. They
yeah.
couldn't afford to go if there was. They couldn't get there.
Yeah.
So that's a relatively new thing. And leisure and recreation, having a good time, is relatively new, you know, in that sense. So, yeah, it makes sense that people would be able to retire in their 60s and have a good income, or that they'd want to keep working so that things would be better.
The column's up on federalnewsradio.com, and also archived there is today's edition of Your Turn with Mike Causey every Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour. You get a bunch of folks on and talk about what's going on in the world that you write about every day.
Right.
How was the show today?
Show was Art Stein, who you well know.
Yes.
He's a well-known financial planner in the Maryland area. He was with the House for many years on the, I think, Ways and Means Committee.
Yes.
So very knowledgeable guy. And we were zeroed in on the thrift savings plan
uh-huh.
and the fact that he thinks the most reckless thing you can do is to be too conservative in your investments.
Yeah.
We touched on the very subject you just mentioned, the fact that people are living longer and they're living better. And I think he said a 65-year-old today, the average is expected to live till 83,
yep.
which means a lot more people will live well beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as always, dug up a baseball analogy, but I remember reading in the Washington Post recently, they tracked down an old Washington Senators pitcher, Connie Marrero.
Yeah.
Who was now living in Cuba, going strong, doing his cigars, I assume Cuban rum, and he was a pitcher for the Washington Senators. He's 102. Now, pitchers, I would guess, retire in their 40s.
Yeah, his career, I happen to know, his career ended in his late 30s or early
40s. So he's been retired, you know,
from that career.
Longer than most people have been alive.
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, Art Stein was saying, don't be too conservative when you're about to retire, you're in retirement, you're tapping your money. Make sure you have enough of it in stocks and whatnot to be able to keep pace with inflation. Because if you put it simply in the G fund, it's safe, but it will, over time, inflation will erode it.